Good morning. I greet you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful this morning that we serve a risen Lord. While we're here to remember the suffering and death of Christ this morning, let's never forget that we serve a risen Savior, one who's conquered death, and that power is in each one of us that choose it here this morning. Thankful to be here this morning for this special service and look forward to enjoying it with you all. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26 for a message this morning. We'd like to look at the betrayal of Christ. There was, when we think about the betrayal of Christ, we obviously think of Judas and his betrayal of Christ for the 30 pieces of silver. But as we'll look at in this passage this morning, there was a number of groups of people that betrayed Christ here in Matthew chapter 26. We want to look at each of those here this morning. Let's start reading Matthew 26. Let's start with verse 14, and we'll read through verse 58. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he saw opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said unto the "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said unto him, "Thou hast said." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all of the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me." And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but that as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour Jesus said unto his multitude, let me start again with verse 55. In that same hour said Jesus unto the multitudes, Are ye come out against as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hands hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now let's skip down to verse 69 and read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said unto Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. This morning I'd like to use the title for the message, 30 Pieces of Silver. As we read across this story and we look at the betrayal of Christ, we've read this story many times, and we read it, we look back on Judas with condemning thoughts, and we ask Judas, how could you possibly do this to one of your friends, someone who you were with daily? How could you do this? And we have good reason to look back on this story with scorn and contempt for this man who was willing to aid this wicked plan of bringing an innocent person to death, an innocent man to death. This goes against our moral justice within us. Even Jesus said in verse 24, referring to Judas, he said verse 24, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Not a very flattering thing for Jesus to say in the presence of Judas. So we can read this story this morning, we can pin the blame for this betrayal on Judas. But I'd like for us to look at three different groups of people in this passage this morning that betrayed Christ. And I also want us to think about our own lives. Have you or I ever betrayed Christ? Have we ever betrayed our Savior? It's the question I want us to ask this morning. What does it mean to betray someone? Have you ever been betrayed? Do you know what it feels like to be betrayed? Betray means to fail or desert someone, especially in time of need. So you think back over your life. Have you ever betrayed someone? Have you ever betrayed Christ? Have you left him, deserted him, when our reputation was called into question, or if it affected our pocketbook? We'll look at some of those things later. Have we ever betrayed Christ? I know I have felt betrayed, and I'm sure you have as well. It's not a pleasant experience for either party. It's a feeling of being let down by people you thought would never let you down. Maybe it was your parents, or maybe it was your husband or wife, your brother, your sister, a close friend. You thought they would never let you down, and then you feel betrayed. You thought they were on your side. Maybe you were, maybe a physical example would be if you're playing a soccer game or you're playing a hockey game and you are on teams, and the person who you thought was on your team ends up scoring a goal for the opposite team. You feel betrayed. It's a terrible feeling. In relationships, being betrayed cuts us very deeply. And obviously this was a relationship here between Judas and Jesus. When we are betrayed, we ask ourselves, was it even worth having that friendship or relationship? If you're betrayed, is it better to have no friendship or no relationship or to be betrayed by that person? And we choose that we would probably rather not have a relationship at all with that person than to be betrayed. Let's look at Judas a little bit. We don't have a lot recorded about Judas in the Gospels, and the little notations that mention his name, it's not normally in a positive way. Here we have Judas at least twice in this chapter. It calls him one of the 12 in verse 14 and over in, I believe it's verse 47. It calls Judas one of the 12, one of the disciples that Jesus chose to be his closest friends, ones to share his earthly ministry with, one of the 12 who walked daily with Jesus, one of his team, we could say. The Bible doesn't say it specifically, but we can assume that Judas was there to hear Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Judas was there to witness that. Possibly Judas was in the boat when they thought they were going to die, and Jesus calmed the storm and save their lives. Judas saw the eyes of the blind man opened. He saw Jesus take that mud and make a paste and put it on that blind man's eyes, and he could see. Judas saw the lame man walk. He saw the 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed 5,000 people. He saw these miracles. In Matthew 10, verse 14, it says, Matthew 10, verse 1, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Judas was one of the 12. He was one of them that Jesus gave power to perform miracles. Judas was around the supper table when Jesus treated him like the honored guest, like Dwayne taught us the other Wednesday night. Around the supper table, and Jesus treats Judas with honor. Judas was there for that, obviously. Judas had all the same opportunities that the rest of the disciples did, yet he chose to betray Christ for a little bit of money. Verse 14 and 15 here, Matthew 26, we read it, but he commits what he thought would be a small, secret, behind-the-scenes act that would fast-forward a timeline, would put some money in his pocket, and would get him to a place of power and authority in an earthly kingdom. That's what Judas had in mind, I believe. That was Judas' agenda for what he was going to move forward with here. I don't think Judas thought about what he was doing when he sold his only hope of salvation for those few pieces of money, the 30 pieces of silver. Turn back to Exodus chapter 21. It's another place 30 pieces of silver is mentioned. Exodus chapter 21, and let's read verses 28 through 32. Exodus 21, verse 28. This is the law that God gave to Moses about civil matters, how they were to be handled. Verse 28, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter. According to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So here's what was supposed to happen. If an ox that was known for getting out of its, where it was supposed to be, its pasture, off of its rope, whatever, and was running around, and it would gore people, this was how it was supposed to be handled. It was not inside high enough of a fence or whatever it was, and he killed them. There were two sentences here. One was if a civilian was killed, then the ox was to be stoned and not be eaten. But if it was a slave or a servant, and the ox knew that, and the owner knew the ox was known for getting out, he had been told about it, and he hadn't done anything about it, and he killed a slave, then the owner was to pay 30 shekels of silver to the slave's owner to redeem that offense. So think about Judas here. When they coveted in verse 14 of Matthew chapter 28, it says he coveted it with them for 30 pieces of silver. They agreed upon this amount. Judas was comparing his Savior to the price of a slave, a gored slave. That's what he had reduced his Savior to. He was willing to trade that money. What that value was, he was willing to trade that to betray Christ. We don't use shekels today, obviously, but as I studied in different commentaries and was looking for the value of what 30 shekels would be, there's obviously a wide range in what people believe 30 shekels to be worth, but it was about a month's wages that Judas was willing to trade his Savior for. If we compared it to our dollars today, it'd be around $218. And obviously we make more than that in a month, but thinking about the dollar amount doesn't really matter here. What we're thinking about is what Judas was willing to betray his Savior for. John chapter 12, verse 6 says this about Judas. Give us a little snapshot. It says, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. So here this is the story of the lady bringing the ointment and anointing Jesus. And it was a very expensive perfume. It was worth about a year's wages. And she was willing to dump that out on Jesus and to anoint him. And Judas has a fit because she did this for Jesus. He said, we could have sold that and the money could be given to the poor. Judas was willing to sell his Savior for a month's wages. See the value difference that these two people placed on Jesus. John chapter 13, verse 27 says that Satan entered Judas and he went to the chief priest and made the deal. I'm putting it in my own words. Judas betrayed Christ for what was dear to him. You can see money being an important thing to him. Satan knew where Judas' weak spot was, and that's where he tempted him. He gave him that opportunity to go sell his Savior for a little bit of money. Judas fell for it. Satan knows where we are vulnerable and will hit us right there and get us to betray our Savior. He knows where we're weak, and he can place that opportunity in front of us. So obviously we would say we would never betray Christ for a month of wages. But what would we betray Christ for? If you were going to bargain with the chief priest, What value, what amount would you place on your Savior? And we would obviously say, there's no dollar amount. There absolutely never would we do that. That's what Peter and the rest of the disciples said as well. In verse 33 of Matthew chapter 26, Peter says, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. In verse 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And we read on to see how he did three times, right in this chapter, in this very story. The disciples here, Jesus asked them to watch with him and pray with him in verse 41. And he comes back and he finds them sleeping. Have you ever asked someone to do something for you and you come back and you find them doing the exact opposite or not doing what you told them to do, and you give them command again on what they're supposed to do, and you go away, you come back? That's what Jesus did here. In verse 43, he comes back and finds them sleeping again. Christ was in such agony of spirit here in the garden scene. We can't even imagine the agony that he was going through, asking his close friends to be with him and give him support. And they fall asleep. We can't even imagine feeling so betrayed. Christ is in agony. His friends are restfully sleeping. These disciples were totally disconnected from the agony and turmoil that Jesus was going through, the emotional strain. They were completely disconnected. They were just sleeping. This morning we are here to remember the suffering and death of our Savior and the agony he endured for my sin. But we can be just as numb, just as asleep as those disciples were and betray our Savior. Verse 56 says, and all the disciples forsook him and fled. All those who Jesus had invested so much into, he had calmed the sea, like I mentioned earlier, given power to them. And they fled when their personal reputation was at stake. When they were getting in a tight spot, they just deserted. Let's look at Peter yet. In verse 58, Peter was following at a distance. Peter wanted to see what was going to happen to Jesus, but he did not want to be close enough that he might get drug into the situation, that he might get himself in harm's way. Which is worse, partial commitment or no commitment? In verse 69 through 75, three times Peter denied even knowing anything about Jesus. He said, I know not the man. And he even began to curse and swear to add emphasis to this. Luke records it this way. Peter denies Christ. And Luke chapter 22, verse 61 and 62 say, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So here we see Peter denying his Christ, betraying Christ because of his reputation. And we have Christ looking at Peter with love and compassion, even though Peter had just denied him three times in front of him. So we look at these people in Matthew chapter 28 and their betrayals. We can get disgusted with their lack of commitment to Christ. But let's look back at our own lives. What about my commitment? How faithful have I been? For how little have I been willing to betray Christ? When we think about the sins that tempt us, looking at something twice that we shouldn't, or the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the things we're willing to give up a relationship with Christ for. Think if we're honest, we can all look back at times in our life we've betrayed our Savior for less than Judas, 30 pieces of silver. The disciples, they got themselves in a tight spot. Peter, his reputation, he was willing to deny Christ for that. What am I willing to trade my relationship with Christ for? How important is it to me? Let's read the first five verses of Matthew 27. Picking up the story here, after Peter goes out and wept Verse 1 of chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. When Judas realized he had betrayed his friend, the value of the money just became worthless. He came in and threw it down, but it was too late. He had already done the deed of betraying his Savior. The money had lost its appeal to him. Wishing you had never done something does not change the fact. It's a good place to start, but it's not redemptive in and of itself. What Judas did next determined his eternal destiny. He went out and hung himself. The end of Judas' life is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 18. It says, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. What a horrible ending to a life that had so much potential. A life that had been with Jesus, had the opportunity to move on from this betrayal and to be a blessing, be an encouragement to people, like the rest of the disciples. But he went out and hung himself. A life became worthless and wasted because he was not willing to give up his own agenda and to serve Christ. Peter's response seems similar. Verse 75, Peter goes out and weeps as well. But I believe that Peter repented in his heart and had a change of heart and was willing to give up of himself. We'll see that later. He sobbed and cried. The Greek word here means he wailed aloud. Peter does, as we look at Peter's life, he did everything with passion. And I believe that when he repented with his whole heart. And he said, I've betrayed Christ, but I'm going to change my heart. I'm going to move on from this, and I'm going to be a soldier for Christ. Peter had a heart change. We can see that in Luke chapter 24. Let's read a few verses from there. Luke chapter 24, start with verse 27. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Here, Mary had been down to the tomb, saw it was empty, went and told Peter and some other disciples, the tomb's empty. Peter comes down to see for himself. And he's walking back towards Emmaus, and Peter doesn't know it yet, but Jesus is the one talking to him. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Talking about Jesus. And they drew nigh to the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave unto them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking bread. The gardener here sees these people come, and he asks Mary, why are you crying? Why are you looking for someone who is living in a cemetery, in my own words? The woman told the story to Peter. He runs, sees for himself, and he believes in the resurrection. He believes that Christ was who he said he was. And he had a change of heart. His eyes were opened. Peter and the rest of the disciples went from deserters and betrayers to bold proclaimers. It says here in verse 35, the same hour they got up and went out and said, the Lord is risen indeed. Verse 33, I'm sorry. The Lord is risen indeed. They worshiped Christ for who he really was. And they recognized him as the Messiah, as the Savior. And they realized that Jesus' whole ministry, what they had What they had thought was going to happen was not what was going to happen. They had missed the point, and I believe they had a heart change. Judas thought there was going to be an earthly kingdom, and when he realized that wasn't going to happen, he just went out and hung himself. The disciples worshipped. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, the disciples worshipped Christ, fell on his feet and worshipped. Thomas doubted. He said, I'm not going to believe, I'm not going to worship unless I see those nail prints, unless I see that pierced side. And Thomas also believed. When he saw Jesus, he saw those handprints, he said, my Lord and my God, in John chapter 20, verse 25. He worshiped Christ. We could go to Acts chapter 1, at the start of the church, where the disciples were together, they were worshiping, and the Holy Spirit comes and fills them with power. And Peter stands up and preaches with boldness. This morning, if we're following Christ for financial success, or if we're following him for popularity, or if we're thinking we're following Christ for what we can get out of it, we're acting like the disciples here in Matthew chapter 26. They were looking for something else. This morning, we must remember that following Christ, it's about him. It's about what he is asking from my life. Ernest taught us in devotions that if the Lord has need of something, is that a good enough reason to give it up? This morning we're following Christ and his plan for our lives, and everything in my life must fit into that. Am I like disciples? Am I just going through the motions, seeing what's in it for me? And when it comes down to a crisis point, I realize that it's going to cost me everything, then I'm willing to desert? Or am I like Peter? Am I following at a distance, just close enough that I can get some benefits, but far enough away to keep myself out of harm's way? If that's us this morning, then we like the disciples need to, first of all, repent. Repent of the way we have been living. And like the disciples and Peter, have a change of heart. Accept Christ's agenda and him as Lord of our lives. And then, like the disciples, they worshiped Christ. And the power and the blessing they received from that, we look through Acts and see the church growing. And it says there was souls added to the church daily, 3,000 at a time at one point, when the disciples were willing to give up of themselves and to follow Christ's plan. This morning, as we share together in this service, let's worship our Savior for the sacrifice that he has made for us. Let's pray.